Radio.com.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Are you thinking of selling your home? Hi, I'm Deborah Osborne with Coldwell Banker Beachside. Before you do anything else, call 1-800-710-0260, extension 15, where you will hear a detailed recording on how I can sell your home faster and for more money than any other agent. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-710-0260, extension 15. Call now and let's get you packing.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand, says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots. She's gone country, a new kind of suit. She's gone country.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I am here tonight live from Las Vegas with my beautiful co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield. Vicki, how are you?
I am great, Becky. How are you this evening? I know how we are. We're tired.
We're tired. We're actually in the hotel room bringing this broadcast to you tonight. We have been here for a week now. Is that how long it's been?
Yeah, it has. It has been a week, and I cannot believe it.
Yeah. Time is flying. Time is flying. And we have been blessed to be live at the Roper Cowboy Marketplace at Mandalay Bay for the trade show there. We've been on stage, and we have guests every day that come on our stage at 12:30. And we have just been really blessed this week with everybody that has come on and shared the hour with us. And we've had some technical difficulties. We wanted to record all the shows, but unfortunately that hasn't happened. But today was a different day. It was a real special day, and we wanted to do everything we could to make sure that we were able to bring this broadcast to you via our show, probably be coming to you snippets via YouTube, whatever we got to do, because it was a special broadcast today. So, Becky, what did you think about today and our guest?
Oh, wow, Becky. It was such a special day. You know, we had absolutely, I like to call them the first family of rodeo, the Harry Bold family.
And they really are. And it was a very emotional day for me and you. something that I thought we'd touch on that we didn't touch on mm-hmm. on the stage is that Harry's been every
NFR since 1959. He was there with your grandpa Becky. We hauled horses from the ranch in Oregon when I was 5 years old to Dallas, mm-hmm. Texas. Harry is the only living stock contractor that has been at every NFR. Sitting beside him today, he's such a great man. Oh. And I just sitting beside him was just like having your grandfather there.
Traveling back in time. Yeah. And you know what's really neat is too is, I mean, how we ended up at Mandalay Bay and Roper Cowboy Marketplace truly is just, in my opinion, just not coincidence, and it's all God's perfect timing. But to be down here, at least for me, and everything that this show represents, to I didn't even know it until you brought it to my attention, but the Rodeo Historical Society has on display a halter that
War paint
here at the first NFR. So to have him there, Harry on stage, Wayne, Donna,
absolutely,
it was just really, really, I don't know, it was just, I'm speechless because it was just such a great day. So.
It was just a wonderful day, and we're so happy to bring this particular interview to you because we know that there are so many fans of Mr. Harry Vold. What a gentleman. What a true, true gentleman. We enjoyed Wayne and Donna. The entire Vold family just are in a class all by themselves.
Well, and before I bring you the interview for you to hear, I wanted to take a quick second because I didn't get to do it today, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of our sponsors here in Vegas that have made it possible for us to bring the show, and that's, of course, 4 Radio and all of the sponsors of 4, as well as our sponsors for our show, which are Trace Rios Silver, Trinity Wellness, Higher Ascent, B&B Builders, I know they're a 4 sponsor, and also our show sponsors at Mandalay Bay at Roper Cowboy Marketplace, and that is Thrive by Lavelle, that is American Hat Company, Urban Cowgirl clothing line, and also Rodeo Queen University, because without them, we wouldn't have been able to make that possible. And I didn't get a chance to say that today because we were just so in tune to getting Harry on.
Absolutely.
And taking care of him at 91 almost next 91. Month, 91 years young.
Yes.
So with that being said, sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and also we just want a shout out to Judy. This one's for you.
It is. Judy and Joseph, Oregon. We know you're listening. Thank you.
So please sit back and enjoy the show.
And Ellensburg and Pendleton and Northwest. And great family, great rodeo company.
Well, we appreciate what you mean to our family. And with you today, I want to go ahead and bring up your family, so they're all here on stage with us. We have Harry's son and daughter, who are also stock contractors in their own right. I want to bring up Donna Gold and Wayne Gold. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, welcome. So happy to have you here.
Now, the funny thing is they when I told them the show was an hour, like, what are we going to talk about for an hour? And I just look at them and the history that sits up here, I think we could fill a couple hours if you ask my personal opinion. So I think the most important thing we're going to ask Harry right now, tell us about how you got started. And bring us up to date at how that all came about. How did the Gold Rodeo Company start? The Gold Rodeo Company, how did that start?
Well, it started back in about 1948. We were buying and selling horses in an auction. My father was an auctioneer, but on sales. And it was just right after the Depression. And there were tractors were coming in, horses were going out. And Leo Kramer was a big rodeo man in the United States at that time, and he sent a man up to Canada by the name of Shirley Hussey. And Shirley Hussey was looking for horses. So we were trying horses and different cowboys getting on them, and we'd get a load of horses, we'd put them on the train on the railroad in those days, and ship them down to Montana. And I had a load ready to go, and they declared custom out in Old Mexico, and that closed the borders. So that left me in Canada with a load of horses. Mr. Kramer said, you just well sell them, because he said, I don't think they'll ever open the border. I couldn't find anybody who wanted to buy those horses. So I took them to the Pinocchio Stampede and bucked them for nothing. And they did perform. We had riders in the sky. And that's kind of where it started, right there.
Well, and I know, I mean, your history, you are going to go down in history as one of the greatest of all time. And you've seen so much over the course of your career. And I guess my question to you would be is, because to me it's all about the story. And most of us, from that point on, I mean, was it always easy? I mean, did you have some hard times? I mean, tell us about what it took to really become the name that you are today.
Well, there wasn't. The first deal I got was at Stettler, Alberta, 75 miles away. And they gave me $8 a head. And I took 40 horses, and we trailed. It took us 3 days with a wagon. Slept under the wagon, and they talk about all the bad beds you get in nowadays. You need to sleep under the wagon, especially when it's raining.
Well, Harry, you know, I love that, isn't it, right? You know, it's about family, it's about the rodeo family and the generation. And, you know, today we're so blessed to have you, Donna, and Wayne here. And when you were talking about sleeping under a wagon, I went back to my read in Harry's book here that we could have shoot. Something that Donna said that the two of you in the first grade rode horses to school. Pine Creek or Pine Valley? Pine Creek, yeah.
Yeah, grade 3, 4, 5, and 6 that we rode horses to school, and about 3 or 4 miles. And my dad was an auctioneer in Canada as well as in the rodeo business. He's also a horse trader. So we'd get all these horses that were about half broke or less and bring them to me, and I'd get on them and ride them to school and get thrown off or whatever. But about a month later, I'd have them pretty well broken, and he'd take them away from you and sell them and give me another.
And I was always a half a step behind on the broke horse. I was a little girl, like 5 years old. And he'd tear out of the barnyard for 90 miles an hour, talking about that. Oh, my goodness, are we going to make it to school today?
You know, growing up as Harry's kiddos, what was that like for you? I mean, I can say that I know what I took from growing up as a stock contractor's kid. I really gained work ethic and character and perseverance. guess that looking at your record and all that you've done, because if anybody doesn't know, Wayne was Style Contractor of the Year in Canada, and he's in the Canadian Rodeo Hall of Fame. He has 2 years in a row, 13 and 14. So I think that's a testament to your history and your heritage and the way you were raised.
Well, when I was about 9 years old, I started riding boy steers, like every kid in Canada plays hockey or rides boy steers. And I won the boy steer ride in Calgary in 1958. And then when I was 13, I started riding saddle ponies. And at that time, there was a guy named Tom Hughes in Canada who was a real good cowboy. And him and I started picking up at my dad's rodeos. And we were only like 14 years old. We were pretty young. But it was a special deal, you know. I was riding broncs and I was picking up, and I went to all the rodeos with my dad and sort of learned the business. And then by the time I was about 20, I had some success in bronc riding, and by the time I was about 24, I retired riding broncs because he moved to the States and I took over the Canadian operation. And I didn't want to ride broncs and run the rodeos. I'd won the Canadian bronc ride twice, and then I just kind of quit. And then put on rodeos, and you know, we lived in Colorado. We talked on the phone like all the time. And then about 10 years after I quit riding broncs, my brother entered me in Calgary, because you could enter them rodeos if you were a past Canadian champion. So I got in. I didn't know what to do, but I got in it. And long story short, I ended up winning second in the bronc riding there. So I went on the road for 2 more years. Then I quit again. That's it.
Got back in your blood. Well, you know, Donna, I think when we were visiting earlier before the show, we were talking about why Colorado, why Harry picked Colorado. Can you share that story, Lynn Lane? All righty, we'll ask you, Harry. Why did you pick Colorado? Donna was telling us earlier.
Well, it's kind of a long story, because you all have heard of Gene Autry. And I was in a meeting in Ogden, Utah years ago with Gary Knight, and Gene Autry had a map of the United States on the table. And he put his finger on Colorado. And he said, if you're going to do these big rodeos, this is the location you need to pick. And I never forgot that.
Right in the middle of the state?
Of the wheel.
Yeah.
And I went there in 67, 68 to be exact, and I've been there ever since. They drought would nearly starve me out, but I'm still there.
That's right. Earlier you were telling me that you leased a place down in Texas when the drought got so bad in Colorado. I did. It's bad in Texas, so.
Well, I have a question for Donna. Now, being a girl growing up rodeo, did you get any special treatment, or were you treated just as tough as the rest of the mom?
There's no special treatment in the Burr family. That's the beautiful thing about growing in this family, because we have been given every opportunity that the boys were given to be stock contractors. We're hands-on working stock contractors. We work bulls, I fight bulls, we work horses, I gather bucking horses. Dad sent us, when he'd get a lot of rodeos, he'd send me to Kennewick, Washington. We'd be sent to different rodeos to put his rodeos on until I got my own bulls and horses and got in the business. But that's the beautiful thing about this family, is you're not too old. You're just a girl now. You can do the dishes or something. You're given the same opportunity the boys have, and I treasure that for my father.
Absolutely. What a wonderful legacy. And I know that growing up in the Christensen family, us girls were given those same opportunities. I mean, you know, every day was ordinary. No, looking back now, there were extraordinary days. And in case our listeners don't know, you know, Harry, of course, has his car, his CRCA car, under Harry Gold Rodeo Company. We have Wayne Gold Rodeo Company. Wayne has his own car. And Donna has her own car under Triple Z Rodeo Company. So there are three CRCA world-class stock contractors sitting on this stage in front of you.
So while we're on the topic, let's go down the aisle. Where do we put our stock this year at the NFR? How many do you have here at the NFR?
That's an embarrassing question. I'm lucky to have anything here. We have five head of our
Horace is here, Wayne has five here, and that, you know, we're pleased to have them here, because I might tell you this, that I was to the first one. I've been to everyone since. The first one I hauled seven heads, 2,300 miles, and they gave me $75 a head.
Wow. And that was in Dallas, right, Harry?
I was in Dallas, and that was on any trucking. And now, it comes 2014, and they're giving nearly $6,000 per head.
So it's really beneficial.
We've come a long way.
Absolutely a long way. That very first NFR, Harry, you know, I was 5 years old, and we left the ranch in Oregon, and the truck had already headed down with what stocks that Dad was bringing, but I can remember spending 19 days in a 19-floor hotel room in Dallas, Texas, and for a little girl, I was really worried how Santa was going to find us that year. We weren't at the ranch. But he did. And Harry, you, I believe, are the only, you're the only stock plant director left that was at the very first NFR. I believe, was it Mr. Bob Barnes lives? And, yes. So what an honor. What an honor that is in rodeo. What is the biggest change? I mean, the money, the stock, but what, let's just ask what the biggest change is. Let's ask what remains the same. Is it the heart?
The money. The money is the big change in the cowboy prize money and everything's taking place. You know, next year, 2015, they're going to break all the records here in prize money to the cowboy. And I think it's wonderful. It's time they got it and they're going to get it. When we started, of course, it was a skimpy deal and didn't know whether it ever worked or not. But it has built to be a tremendous amount and the greatest showcase and Super Bowl of the rodeo business. I was going to add that this is one time of the year that I get my family, the entire family, together. It's not Christmas or any other birthday. It's the national final. They all want to come here. And we're glad to have them. It's always a pleasure to have everybody here. The many, many friends, you know. I don't keep it a secret, but I'm 90 years old, and I'll be 91 next month. And all my friends in my age bracket, there are so many of them are gone, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. And I'm very blessed to be able to be up and get around. Thank you.
Harry, you are ageless and timeless. There's just no doubt about it. Absolutely. Well, Wayne, you got some stock out tonight. Tell us what's going on tonight.
It's pretty exciting tonight. I haven't had any animals out yet, and I wondered if they're ever going to buck them. But tonight is supposedly what they call a TV pin, Monday and Saturday. And I guess if they perform well tonight, they get to go Saturday night, which is called a TV pin. But anyway, I bought a horse last year from Jimmy Lawrence in Saskatchewan, Canada, a horse called Mucho Donero, and he named him right, I promise you, when I bought him. But anyway, he was the Canadian bareback horse of the year in Canada this year. He was in the short four in the bareback riding at the Calgary Stampede, which was an honor for me. And tonight, Casey Fields has got him, who I think is an absolute, you know, like, if he's not the best bareback rider in the world, he's certainly among them. And
sure.
I'm very pleased that he's on that horse tonight. I got Jacob Crowley on Pedro, a horse I bought here in Las Vegas about 5 years ago. And I got Caleb Bennett on a horse called True Grit, who is the 2013 bareback horse of Canada. So it's going to be an exciting night, and, you know, everybody wants to get on that bucket stage, so we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely, that gold buckle and that check.
Man, I tell you what, like you said, Harry, the money has changed so much. I mean, if you miss a steer or miss your mark and don't ride your bronc, that's $15,000 out the window. That's an expensive 8 seconds.
Well, I don't want to talk about a lot of big things happening there here in Las Vegas. This team roping, the model of course, has never been one like it.
It's been tough this year.
Oh, it's the biggest in the world ever.
Oh my goodness. Well, and we were going to have the Fields on with us this week, the whole family, but they're out in
the Ropen at South Point. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think they just rode Bronx. They're out the Ropen, and that, you know, that's a testament to you just being another rodeo family. You do a little bit of everything. So.
Well, Harry, can you tell us? I mean, you've produced every Wayne to all of you. You know, been to every large rodeo here in the United States and across Canada. You know, I think everyone kind of has a favorite one that they love to come back to. Harry, with you, where would that be? I know it's hard to name them all, but pick one if you would, please.
Well, you know, that's a touchy subject because you're going to like them all.
That's right.
But I did Cheyenne for 36 years, and I thought that was pretty much a handful. I mean, anybody that had ever been to Cheyenne, it's a challenge to put it on with over 3,000 animals and 1,500 cowboys. Well, it was always a challenge. But there's been so many great rodeos, and they have them all over the country. I was in Pendleton for many years, Ellensburg, Washington for many years. They're great, great shows, and they just continue to keep on getting better.
They do. They absolutely do. Becky and I had the pleasure of going attending the Pendleton Roundup this year. First time I had been back in many, many years, probably way in the 80s, actually. But that takes me back to a story at Pendleton, and you and Karen were there, and Dad, Mom, and I traveled over. I think I was maybe about 14 or 15. You wanted to take Karen out to dinner that night, and so I got to babysit Kirsten. And you told me this morning she's 41 years old now. Holy moly, I tell you what.
Timeless,
girl,
timeless.
You don't
know
that.
I love this man for more reasons than you'll ever know. So, and now another thing that I learned this morning, let's talk about Karen for a few minutes. Now, I know she's not here today. She's home, and I know you shared she broke her arm. But she was a trick rider. And I know that Vicki shared with me some of that her, and was it all Linda and Cherry? Trick right?
Well, we rode to Ellensburg. We always look forward to that northern ride because Wayne and Harry and the entire family were there, and it was a chance to get to see them. And Karen Womack was a renowned trick rider, and I always looked up to Karen. She's still, her and Harry at the ranch, they're so good to the youth. They still conduct trick riding clinics. And anyway, we'd go to Ellensburg, and we'd run in around Karen after we hugged her neck and said, "Teach us a new stunt." And she never failed us. She always kind of worked with us girls. And you know, I always thought, you know, Harry and Karen, what a wonderful, loving relationship. And they combine families and children. And they're just a shining star to everyone. And I want to share, Harry has a great book out. It's something in there about the entire family. I love the Duke of the Chute. But Karen picked up a little trivet. Harry told me in Montana, he said that was on a trivet because I read it to him earlier. I'd like to share it with you what Karen wrote. She wrote, "It's easy to be pleasant when life goes by with a song, but the man worth wild is the man who can smile when everything else goes wrong." This was her man, and he's smiling today.
You know, trip riding, it's an interesting thing. This boy that's winning the bull riding at this Kingston rodeo now, his name's Kimsey. He was at our place, and my wife was on to him because he wanted to be a trick rider. And she had him there teaching him to ride tricks. So she calls constantly, wanting to know how well he's doing. But he won the round last night. And it looks like he's got a good chance to win the world. And I think he's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. He comes from a trick riding family. The Kirsten family were well known for that. Absolutely.
Well, and again, Harry, speaking of Sage, it's just another testament family and the character of those that have gone before us, like yourself and the rest of the family. He comes from a great family. He's bull riding mentor of somebody, Cody Custer. I mean, what a great man Cody is. Mentoring from your wife. It's just a testament that the generations before, the generation that's here today, truly have a legacy to leave and truly have
character to share and grit to share and things that this generation needs to continue on with the generations that will be coming up. And I think you're an unsung hero to me.
Absolutely.
So many ups and downs in the rodeo business, just like there is in life in general. I've been very blessed. Good times, bad times, hills and valleys. It has been a wonderful, wonderful life. And when you want to meet a bunch of great, great people, the Western people, the rodeo people, you cannot beat them.
No.
They're the best.
Well, now I'm going to switch over here to Wayne for just a minute. So you've done a lot yourself. I mean, you went from riding wrong, pickupping, to running your own rodeo company. What are some of the challenges you've seen in your generation coming up?
Well, I think that the animals, you know, to maintain a good set of animals is a big deal. And everybody's raising horses and bulls now. And when I rode Bronx, you know, quite a while ago, there was a handful of good animals to get on. And now there's a whole bunch of good animals to get on. It's a very competitive, the rodeo business. And there's a lot of people in it. And a lot of people are raising horses and bulls. And, you know, like everybody wants to come to Vegas. That's what I rodeo all year for. You know, I've got some of the major rodeos in Canada, you know, like you were talking about favorite rodeos. I got a rodeo at Canoga, Alberta. It's got 50,000 in each event. We get all the best American cowboys and up there, plus our Canadian cowboys. And, you know, like Canada has grown right along with America in the rodeo world, and I primarily stay up there. But I don't put any rodeos on anymore in the United States, but I want to come to Vegas, and I want to keep maintaining my animals, and I got 5 here, and next year it's going to pay close to $10,000 per animal, so I'm looking for more of them. That's what you do.
That's a far cry from $8, that's for sure.
Well, now, Donna, where is Triple B based out of?
We're Casper, Wyoming. I'm married to a very nice man that runs a lot of cattle, and I'm in the rodeo business, and he helps me, and I don't help him very well. No, I'm truly the only bull that loves bulls. I'm doing well. So we raised some awfully nice bulls. We started raising bucking horses in 2000, and just like these two men sitting up here, these two women, too, there's nothing that does your heart good like seeing something really buck.
Oh, it'll do it.
I agree. Those big, beautiful feather-legged broncs. Tell us a little bit about the breeding program. You were a pioneer when it came to, you know, putting together and raising bucking stock, breeding stock for bucking.
Wait a minute. All my life tried to raise one. And it's just an accident when you really get a good one.
Mike just went out on it.
It's not that simple.
We're going to switch mics here for you, Harry.
Okay, we'll
you want to make sure that...
It's not that simple to raise a good one because it's an accident. We raised one that won the world 3 times. That's now happened since or before. And, you know, Kirsten really did steal this colt from me. She babied him and made a stallion out of him, and he's probably been the best thing that we've had come along for Wallace Painted Valley. She won the world with him and inspired some of the best horses that we have now. So that's just how things can work. That it was like the early days when you stole a horse, they hung you. So it's all free.
You're going to let her get away with that, though.
I'll let her go.
No charges pressed.
Oh, goodness.
Well, and now, Harry, I want to share with the audience, because this is something that touched my heart. And I know you said Donna's the mastermind behind it. But I think it's really important, because growing up, and I just want to touch on this minute. Growing up, when I was about 15, was about the time it really got heavy with animal rights activists and then really trying to press the buttons of stop contractors at rodeos and how we treated our animals. And, you know, it's so easy for them to see what's right in front of them in 8 seconds and not really get a full gamut and full picture of what really goes on behind, you know, out back at the ranch. And we valued our animals just as you guys value your animals. They're your livelihood. And what's something that's very special about Harry is on their ranch, they have a cemetery that is set aside for their special bucking horses and bulls and horses that have come through their family that have become their family. And on each tombstone, there's something special about each animal. Will you share with them a little bit about what you guys created up there?
Well, you never know which animal is going to be that great one. You know, they come from anywhere, anytime, any place. But I think, in my experience, there's no better than bucking horses being raised a day because so many people got into it than there ever was before. There's just a crowd full of good horses. We didn't used to have that. And they got the right. And they're artificially breeding these horses now. There's a man in Amarillo, Texas, and he's sending that team all over the country. Cost money, but they're moving it around.
That is for sure. And I'm hot here, I'm cold here. But the ones that were really special to you, you've got back home with you, Harry. And they're there with you, and that's a testament to how they've become part of your family.
We're trying to raise tomorrow.
Well,
he has a cemetery at his ranch for his horses, was the question.
Yes.
All the great horses that he ever owned, and with the world champions, which he's had quite a few world champions, and the great horses, even the weren't world champions, and there's about 20 in his little cemetery. They got their tombstones up, and it's a very, very touching place.
And, you know, I saw that on the YouTube video, Wayne, and it is very touching. And Harry talks about the wrecking horses and about the cemetery, and Angel Sayings was there, and there's an epitaph on each headstone about each horse. And that has to be a very special place to you, Harry, to go just kind of stand there and be still.
Well, Karen, my wife is responsible for that, and it's a very nice cemetery. And we have all these horses buried with a headstone. And there was a time when the Colorado State Fair was going on. A couple of people from the Humane Society wanted to see what was going on, so I brought them out there. And they looked it all over. They never took a picture of it. They never said it was good or bad. They just left.
Wow. I was going to be someone trying to not get the full picture, but I, you know, with technology today, social media today, the heart people have for rodeo is easily captured and preserved, and that's, you know, that's what we're all about, preserving the story. So I think real quick, just so you guys know, we are recording live for our show tonight because it's such a special show. So we're going to take just a 5-minute break, five second break. Sorry, don't leave. And we're just
going to
pause, and then we're
going to
come right back.
ForRadio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Please, just raise your hand and we'll get the microphone down to you. So we are back, and you know, we're just sharing the hour with someone who's touched our family in a very personal way. He's touched the sport of rodeo, he's touched the Western world, but he's like family to me here. It was really emotional for me being around you this morning, because there's not a lot of good guys left like you. And I think you're a testament, so, you know, your character is just pretty special.
And I owe these people an apology, and I can't do anything about it. If you live to be 90, it might happen to you. And that is, and I've lost my hearing. One ear is stone deaf, the other one I can hear a little. And it's a kind of a deal you have to listen and hear what you want to hear.
Maybe that's not such a bad thing, Harry. I'm halfway there, and I'm already partly deaf, so don't we can't say things. It just happened. So, Harry, I just want you to pick a story, because I'm going to ask each of you. I just want you to pick a story that just really, really has touched in your life, something that's happened in the past, and share some of the history.
The wildest story I might tell is the time I was in Lee Park, Alberta, and I had a friend across the river, and that's a big river, the North Saskatchewan River, and he had 40 head of horses that he wanted to buy, and the only way we could get those horses was on the ferry, and we put those 40 horses on the ferry and started across that big river. And they all run to one side and hit the ferry.
Oh my gosh.
And the worst part of it was, they all swam back to the ferry.
They're going back to the crowd.
That way, Melvin and Helen bounced around there and got them back on the ferry and put cowboys on both sets of the ferry and they got on the cross.
Wow. Well, so, and that just goes and leads me into another question. You know, today it makes common sense to most people why we rodeo. I mean, the money's good, the events are good. There's a lot of things out there to really entice someone to become part of a rodeo community. What in the world made you guys all do it back then? Just to take, I mean, to get on a horse and you know, take them down the road without trust, what made you keep doing it?
Everything was horseback. And there was nothing you could do about it. I had one guy tell me, he's gone now, the same age as I was telling about he'd rode a horse 85 miles in one day.
Wow.
Now that's a long ride.
That's a long ride.
And nowadays, you barely get somebody on the horse ride across the yard.
That's true. They want to saddle up a four-wheeler.
Yeah. Rather less four-wheeler.
Well, Wayne, question for you. Of course, Wayne is well known in Canada, and I've heard him sing before too. And a lot of people say if you hadn't, you know, stepped into, you know, the stock contractor shoes and the rodeo cowboy, that you would have made it in the Western entertainment world. Do you still sing in Canada?
Not very often anymore. I sing the national anthem at Pinocchio, and I'm singing it here at the Canadian anthem on Thursday night at the rodeo.
Oh,
no, I can't stay up that late anymore.
Oh, it happens to all of us. Well, and Donna, here's the question I have for you. And I'm just reverting back to it because, you know, the Western world has been so predominantly male for so long. Do you have, or have you seen in your time running your rodeo company, any, I guess you'd say, hindrances, partialities as being a woman behind the shoes, you and your sister?
You know, we've been treated very fairly. I think it's in the way you present yourself a little bit. You just take a hold and you're the boss. When you sign the check, it's in line. But men are raised now by a lot of single women, and they're raised to know that women are in every corporate industry that men are in. And we haven't had, I had one young bull rider at, I put on the Friday night rodeo in 1995, and he said, honey, you're going to have to get over because I'm getting on the school. I said, well, you're going to have to make room for me. I'm flashing him.
Oh, I love it.
And I threw him off. And that, like,
excellent. That's great.
Well, you just try not to get too exuberant when you put on the left, but yeah, no, people are very, very much gender neutral these days. There's women working most every position and most every job.
So. Well, and I think another thing too, Donna, is you proved yourself. You knew what you were doing. You were worth your salt. You knew and you know what's going on, and that does earn respect of others, you know, from male or female. We do have a question from Leanna. So please, sir, if you just state your name and we address your question, whoever you have a question for.
Yeah, Harry, this is Obi from Cheyenne. We've known each other for a long time. I got one question for you. All the great bucking horses you had on the way back to Neck Lace and to Bobby Joe and Nicholas Painted Valley now. What was your favorite horse and why?
What was your favorite horse?
I guess if I was to pick one of all the horses we've had, and we've had thousands of them, I would have to come next week at the end of that list.
She was a bareback horse, correct?
Go ahead.
I'd like to say something about Necklace.
I don't know how long ago it was. It must have been about 1962 or 63. We're in Stavely, Alberta. And this guy brings a horse in called Necklace. And it was after the rodeo, and there was nobody around to get on the horse. But as I look out in the audience, Ivan Baines was sitting there. And he got on the horse that night.
Wow.
In Stavely, Alberta. And that's a true story. And I think threw him higher than some of the rafters were that night. And that's where she started. And he was just starting to be a bronc rider.
Well, Ivan, you want to share a little bit about Necklace and what kind of horse he was? Sheep.
Thank you, everybody. It's an honor to be here with the Great Bulls family and all you nice people. And Harry's my hero. Wayne's a friend of mine and halfway a hero. Donna's a hero. A girlfriend, a sweetheart, same as Becky and the Christensens and Christensen brothers and the Great Roadie. I thought the world of the Christensens, and I appreciate your book and Wayne Bold, Harry Bold, and Nick Lace. You know, I read in Harry's book, which he has out now, which is at the
cowboy book for him over here. Mm-hmm.
She was called Nick Lace, but she was so beautiful. She was a beautiful mare. And they see her bucking, and she looked beautiful, and she was really bucking. And I not only got on her the first time, what's the gentleman's name, the roper that brought her in from the game ranch in New York?
Emo Comiskey.
Nice, easy name to remember. I drew her in Great Falls, Montana, in 1965. In the saddle bronc riding. And I actually have a picture of me. Well, I don't want to break, but I think I used her over the rain. I don't know how I did that. But, she is stretched out and looking beautiful, but at 6 seconds, she flipped right over backwards in the arena. So that's the last time, it was Wayne or Harry had her in the draw there. That's the last time they put her in the saddle bronc riding and moved her into bareback riding. She became, you can argue she's the greatest ever, or, you know, like Singer, she's in the top two or three greatest broncs ever. And I thought the world of this mare, and everybody else did, and she raised so many great horses for the Bold family. But I've talked enough, and I'm very honored to be here, and God bless Las Vegas and the rodeo and the people here in the bucking stock. I'm in heaven here, and I forget how great it is until I come here, and then I realize how tremendous the rodeo is here and the people and the bucking stock is.
Thank you. Thanks, Ivan, for sharing that with us. With Wayne, Donna, and Harry, I was always intrigued with Angel Sing. I just, absolutely, Angel Sing. Tell us, please, about her.
Well, Angel Sing was not a very big horse, but it won the world with it twice. And Charlie Thompson, a man down in Lubbock, Texas, had her. And, you know, back then, $10,000 was a lot of money. And that's where he had her price. And finally, I don't know whatever possessed me, but I called him up. And I said, if you'll bring that mare to Odessa, and she still talks like she did, I'm going to give you $10,000. He did, and she went all along the road that year.
Absolutely. And I believe that was back in the time when maybe Black Velvet was talking to her. Is that right, Wayne? And I do know that. As a stock contractor, if you tag the railroad on the back of
is, I know that they paid Chaplin Rock a certain amount of money, and then at the end of the year, if she won an award, an animal running award, then it was, I think it was something like $10,000 in extra. But the bull, they said no. Her name was Angel Singh, and she's not going to be Angel Singh's velvet. She's Angel Singh. So I just have to love the heart of this family because of that.
There's another story that goes with Vernon Dillings, Montana, and that's when that program was on there naming the mass of the whiskey. So they offered me just $10,000 to name her whiskey. And my wife put both feet on the ground said, "You're not changing that mare's name." You never did. As much as I needed the money, I mean.
Yeah, you may have tried to talk Karen into it, but it didn't happen. Oh, I think I've got one more question.
Yes, I just
want
to include in my statement on the great Mare Necklace. When she went, this was before professional judges or anything. There was High Whitlock, a great old bronc rider from Montana with high spiked heels. He had to come from Texas, and he had a great swagger. He was one of the judges, and he come up to me, and he says, "Ivan, we're marking you on that horse. You bucked so great, you're winning second." I said, "Well, I'm just a kid. I'm a teenager." I said, "Well, that's an honor." He said, "She bucked so magnificent in 6 seconds. You bucked way better than the horse for 8 seconds. But we can hardly have you win it because you didn't ride 8 seconds. So I said, "I'll take second, and I thank you, and have a great day, everybody."
Well, and you know, that's just, that leads me to, you know, let's talk about the performance tonight. And we were talking about, your horse coming out tonight with Caseum. Show the audience how important it is because, you know, the horse gets up to 50 points. The rider gets up to 50 points. And either one of them can really do a doozy on each other if they don't ride a ride right.
Well, I think certain riders suit certain horses better. And I think Casey Fields, if you had to pick a bareback rider on the planet, that he would be, you know, one of the very first picks. There's some other great bareback riders out here as well, there's no doubt. But Casey was on this horse in Calgary this year in the short four for the $100,000, and he was 92 points. So I'm very excited about this thing that's going to happen tonight. And anything can happen. There's a lot of great horses out there tonight and a lot of great riders. But it's kind of like being in the Kentucky Derby for me tonight. I'm very excited to have him draw. I have people wheel him on me. I told him, I said, "That's the guy I want." And so we'll see what happens.
No coincidence. It's going to be a great matchup. Absolutely. Everyone will be watching the Bronx Ride. And of course, all of the NFR tonight, no matter where we are. It's wonderful about Vegas. You can pull up a chair anywhere and see that live feed at any major hotel on the Strip. So Vegas has really stepped forward and really, really provided for professional rodeo a venue that I would be hard pressed to say could be matched. What do you think, Harry? About Vegas, is there any other city or town that you think that could match Vegas for promoting the Cowboys?
You know, that's got to be a very serious problem. So the deal was made to come back here for 10 years, that this is where it needs to be, because it's established and they've got all the entertainment in the world, the best there is here for people to go to. And I'm so pleased that it's here. I'm on that National Finals board, and I tell you, it was a struggle there for a while because I don't know, I wasn't sure we were going to have it here.
Right.
But it's here.
And thank the Lord for that. I think a lot of us were holding their breath because they knew that Vegas is where it needed to be. What are your feelings on that, Ryan?
No, absolutely. I didn't want to go anywhere else but here. I love Vegas. They treat us good here. And, you know, it's been more success here than any other town or city that's ever been in. So, you know, I phoned Michael Dawn one day, and he's very instrumental, just before this was happening. And I said, you know, I want to stay in Vegas. And
It was a lot of upset people and a lot of good negotiating went on, let's say that.
Donna, how about you?
Well, there's something for everyone in Las Vegas. These cowboys are young, they have small children and babies, and there's something for older folks to do if you want to stay up all night. And everyone goes through that in their early 20s when they don't go to bed for 3 days and their eyes are bloodshot. But there's something for every family member to do in Las Vegas. And you can't say that about a lot of other towns. It's kid-friendly, and the food is incredible, and you can be entertained by anything that you choose.
Well, and so here's a question I have, and we'll see if Harry wants to touch on it. Harry is not unknown to controversy. And there's been a lot over the course of the PRCA. And so this is just probably to you, as we were going through the whole you know, crunch of will it stay, will it go, this isn't new to you. And so tell us, over the years with the PRCA and rodeo and everything, what other controversies or what other hiccups, I should say, have you seen way back when? Have there been others?
The time, Dad, you remember when the PRCA was just about broke about 25 years ago, and Sean Davis and you and Bob Fain were appropriated to take over the situation?
Right.
I've tried to forget about that.
It's all part of history.
But anyway, they were in trouble, and they appointed Sean Davis and myself to head it up for a year, and we did, and we brought Bob Fain in to help us, and Eldon Evans was an accountant, and he was taking care of the books, but everything got turned around, and you know, the talk was you like, but the Professional Cowboys Association is very important. And to have a place that we can call home. Colorado Springs, the National Finals Headquarters, call it whatever you like, but it's our monument. And at the time that they said they were going to move back, Tim Childers was alive. He calls me and he says, they cannot move that place. It's our monument. And it is. And I'm all for it. We do a lot of things to help it. It's a great place to keep all the history. That's the only history we have. It's in the Hall of Fame in Colorado Springs. Beautiful.
It is a beautiful place. And when I was back at the Little Bridges Rodeo Finals, my grandson participated this past summer. My husband and I drove back up to Springs, and of course, we hadn't been there in a few years when our bank was inducted, but it changes every year, and it just grows, and it gets better and better, and when you can step into that room and hear Pete Logan, you can sit down and listen to Pete Logan announce that very first NFR. Oh my gosh, I tell you what, you know, that's emotional. It definitely is a beautiful place, very special. Okay, now I'm gonna get a little personal here for just a minute, just because I think it's important, and I don't think we can capture this moment all the time. Harry, Donna, Lane, we have a future stock contractor sitting in our audience right now, sitting in the front row, and he's here because he wanted to hear from you guys today, and he's saving his money and all his earnings, and I personally think he's the next Trevor Brazil, but he's sitting in the front row, and that's my cousin, Tate's grandson. So what would you tell him about being an upcoming stock contractor?
You know, the many changes take place that I wouldn't have no idea. And there's a lot about us. You know, the easiest part of the rodeo business is the 2.5 hours you're in the arena. That's the easy part. And it's getting ready and preparing and loading the trucks, keeping everything bucking, you know, and everything that goes along with it. But the easy part is putting the rodeo on as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Harry, in talking about putting the rodeo on, Wayne, Donna, you know, there's still a lot of places that
fall into where, I mean, you fire the announcer, you fire the barrelman, you fire the bullfighters, contract act, and, you know, probably done everything, even sold tickets. I don't know if you've all worked at concession stands, but,
you know, it's a full deal.
There's still a lot of places like that, and then of course there's a lot that have right committees that absolutely handle everything right down to dotting their I's and crossing the T's. But oftentimes they're expected to do it all.
Absolutely, and like my dad said, he said the tough easy part is the 2.5 hours during the rodeo. I'm just going to say one thing. I was thinking that when I was 15, and when we come first to Ellensburg, Washington, and Pendleton in about 1963, I was a friend and not a bad pickup man, maybe, but I started picking up with your dad, Bobby Christensen, and I firmly believe was the best pickup man probably that I'd ever seen in my life, and I worked with him off and on for about 15 years picking up. I learned a lot of stuff from him. I learned how to turn horses back from him, and I learned how to be a gentleman from him.
Oh, wow. I'm so humbled by that. He was a gentleman. And I think as a stock contractor, Wayne, and as a pickup man, you definitely have a solid advantage because you know your animals. And you know how to handle them and get that cowboy out of there before they get hurt. But I know my dad always looked forward, like I said, to Ellensburg, Lewiston, Pendleton. He just loves the Bull family. He absolutely loves the Bull family. Thank you so much, Wayne.
Donna, how about you? What would you give advice to take if not running the rodeo?
The very best advice I could give him is marry a very wealthy woman.
Marry a very wealthy woman.
And then after that, you can, the sky's the limit. So you can get the rodeo business. So I know of your dedication from your grandmother, and I think you're going to make an excellent stock contractor. It takes dedication. It takes, when it's raining straight down and you've got six sick calves that you're doctoring, when you've got horses to gather, when things and trucks broke down, it's any number of different things, but you're built from good stuff. You're from good stuff, so I wish you well, and I hope to see you in the stock contract condition.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left before we end the hour, so I would just like, you know, Wayne or Donna or Harry, if you have another story you'd like to share, because I know there's so much, and for me, that's what my show's all about. Donna has a story.
I would like to share a story about a horse that Dad and I were riding one day. He had got a little gray Galasuna horse for Doug. Our brother's a bronc rider, too. I'm not a bronc rider in the family. He went to the national finals. Doug was the Canadian champion, but I just ride bronc saddle horses. And I was going to school in Greeley. I come back to the ranch for the weekend, and Dad says, I got this gray Galasuna horse that they just got back. And he says, I think he's broke the ride. You want to try him? Well, I mean, this horse got me hard in the right in the gravel. Just as hard as he can get my breath, and he goes, can't you ride him? I said, would you like to trade me horses? He was down on the river, and as far as back came from, there was no sympathy for getting thrown off at our house.
I was 7 years old. We had a rodeo in Benalla, Alberta, and we trailed the horses there. We stayed overnight at Black Falls, and it was raining. Anyway, I was riding this buckskin, and he kept coming up all the way out there, and I wasn't looking very old. We get out there, he said, we're just going to put him in the draw, and the guy, he bucked some guy off, and I look around, it's time to go home, and he said, you got to get back on that buckskin and ride him home, and I
said, Harry, anything special in your heart that we're going to close out the program here shortly?
2 years ago, the Calgary Stampede wanted to bring a few of the old-time cowboys in there that were in on the horse drives. So I went up there, looked around, and there was no one else there. Cameron Lansdale was in the home, and they didn't even know if he was going to make it. All the rest were gone. And they wanted to know where we crossed the river when we brought them in on the Little Bow River. That's all the houses. No, there's no horse crossing there. But they had what they call a Scotchman's Hill. It's a big hill up there. And what we did, all the horses were gathered and held on Scotsman's Hill. And we'd hold them there till about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we'd trail them down into the rodeo ground because the only thing we had to contend with were the dogs. Everybody else was off the street. And that's how we handled it back then. And people come in with wagons, and they slept under the wagons. And the Indians went on strike because they were going to charge them. And they started a rain dance. And it rained for 6 days to 6 nights. And it never quit raining, and Marty Riddle, tell you, is right up to the soft of our boots, that mud. Next year, they got them in for nothing.
So honored to have Harry and Wayne and Donna here with us today, and I know time is running short. Harry will probably stick around for a few minutes because we need to get our driver to get his car and bring it around. But I thank you so much for just you and who you are. And I would like to just say, if you could give any words of encouragement to those just standing out there right now about the sport of rodeo, what would it be?
Pleased to be part of anything that has to do with the Christians. The greatest father and uncle of people ever having to do with, wonderful people. And wonderful people. And I don't know how you got me roped into this, but I'm
you know, Dad's responsible for this. He's like up there saying, you know, Harry, you gotta go. Yep. These are my girls. You gotta go. Thank you so much. The both families love you. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Stand an ovation for this man and this family because they are royalty to us. Please, just raise your hand and we'll get.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
ForRadio.com.